Hello and welcome to Film School for Dad, the podcast where I attempt to catch my dad up on a lifetime of squandered interests and misappropriated activities that somehow managed to overlook almost all of popular culture. I'm Harvey.
I'm David, and I'm Harvey's dad.
All right. And each week we're going to watch a movie together that Dad hasn't seen, but really should have seen, and then get his opinion on whether it deserves its place in cinematic history. So what movie are we discussing this week? Assuming it's going to be weekly.
I believe it's Jurassic Park.
If that doesn't get you in the mood for doing a podcast, I don't know what would.
Yes, it's got a touch of Hitchcock for me.
Yeah, a little bit Hitchcockian, which is always fun to say. We should do a Hitchcock movie, but I think Spielberg is almost as notorious as Hitchcock at this point, would you say?
Well, of course, I saw most of my Hitchcock on TV. There was a regular Hitchcock series on TV. And
That's right.
I don't think I've seen many Hitchcock movies in the actual cinema.
You're talking about Alfred Hitchcock Presents, the TV show. We used to watch it together, right?
Mm.
Yeah, I remember one about a guy who got paralyzed and could only move his finger. That's the one I remember the most.
Okay.
Do you remember that one?
Sort of.
It may have been Twilight Zone, though.
Okay. No.
But I think it was Hitchcock Presents. Yeah. Do you think that Alfred Hitchcock is still, would be considered a better filmmaker or more important filmmaker than Steven Spielberg?
Well, that's a question that would require me to have seen probably more of the films of each of them. Spielberg, I think he's got a richer list of products, whereas the Hitchcock stuff probably is, you know, more along the same lines. Psycho and Birds, and those are the ones that come to mind.
Yeah, that's right. There's also Vertigo and Rear Window that you would have heard of, hopefully.
I'm not familiar with the last one, Vertigo, I've seen.
Yeah, it's an interesting thing because Spielberg is like the ultimate blockbuster director, right? You know, he made Jaws. Jurassic Park is probably one of his biggest movies, but he's made so many classic movies. You know, all the Indiana Jones
films, the one about the Holocaust,
Schindler's List,
those sort of So it's a real rich diversity of movies in his work.
Did you ever see Munich, the one about the terrorist attacks during the Olympics or whatever it was?
Yes, I've seen that.
That was a great movie. Mm. I think we watched that together. I think I made you watch that. That was like almost the pilot for this podcast because that was like me forcing my will on you to watch particular movies.
It's not a movie I enjoyed watching.
No. Well, no. Yeah, sort of. There's parts of it that are actually, you know, quite light.
Yeah.
Which is, but Spielberg always has that in his movies. He always has sort of, with maybe the exception of a few minor ones, he always has a sort of a lighthearted, fun element to his movies, even with the serious topics. Like Schindler's List definitely didn't have that, but I think Munich did a little bit, you know, where the characters were a little bit light and made jokes with each other. And
I don't remember it well enough, really, to.
Oh, well, maybe we'll revisit that one at some point as well. We got to do all the Spielbergs. You got to know every Spielberg movie if you're going to have a cinematic education. Yeah. You got to know every Spielberg movie.
Oh, there'll be a few of them I haven't seen.
We might have. Have you seen Jaws?
No.
Wow. Well, we'll have to do that for sure. No. Jaws is a classic. In fact, Jaws really is a precursor to Jurassic Park because it's a monster movie, and Jurassic Park's a monster movie, obviously.
Right. I've seen a couple of scenes from Jaws, of course.
Yeah, well, and you've heard the theme song, probably. Everybody has. Everybody's probably hummed it in the shower at some point or something.
No, never watched it from A to Z.
Yeah. Mm. So I'll just explain a little bit of what the podcast is, just in case, you know, well, it has to be everybody's first episode because it's the first episode. So the idea is we are going to talk about your perceptions of the movie based on things that you've heard without actually having seen it. Now, that won't always work out to be very interesting because you may have never heard of the film at all. But in the case of Jurassic Park, I think we can start with that, right?
Well, I actually only found out half an hour ago that Spielberg made it.
So. Yeah, there you go. Yeah. So that's a start. But you must have heard something about Jurassic Park. Like,
well, I
had a huge marketing campaign.
To be honest, I thought it was a Walt Disney movie about dinosaurs.
Okay. So you thought it was a cartoon?
I thought it might have had cartoon. Yeah, I wouldn't have been surprised if it had been.
Yeah, that's interesting.
I have seen a scene from it, I think, where the people were not cartooned. So,
yeah.
But it could have been a mix of the two. I wasn't sure.
Yeah. Mm. It's actually live action and it's, I would say, relatively adult. I think kids, it's made so kids can watch it, but it's definitely made so adults can enjoy it. So it's not a, right. I wouldn't say it's a kiddie movie at all. It's quite brutal in places.
So it has a, interesting storyline. It's not just special
Absolutely.
Effects one after the other for the sake
of- No, so the special effects are kind of what made it significant, I guess, but I don't one of the things that I really reason why I wanted to start with this movie was because I wanted to get your opinion, because I don't think you'll be impressed by the special effects, because you will have seen at least enough special effects to be numb to them like everybody else is by now, right? So you're not going to say, wow, they made dinosaurs look real. So you'll actually have a more natural reaction to the movie itself than the average person would have at the time. Like I can't go back now and erase that sense of wonder that I had when I first saw Jurassic Park. Like the dinosaurs were like, and I don't get that in movies. Like I don't have a sense of wonder. Maybe Titanic a little bit. You know, there was something about that movie. You probably haven't seen that either, but
I have. No, I have seen.
You did Titanic. See Titanic, so there was something about that movie that inspired me and gave me a sense of wonder. I'm not even sure why, because I knew the story, obviously, so it wasn't that. But Jurassic Park, just for the special effects alone, was worth the watch. But it won't be for you, and I'd be really interested to see if the movie's still effective, because I think it will be.
Well, I would tend to take special effects for granted.
Yes. Yeah.
Bit like the umpire in football. If you're noticing the special effects, you're not really into the movie.
There's no special effects in football.
No, like the umpire in football. A good umpire is one that you don't notice.
Yes. Okay, I see what you're saying. Mm. I thought maybe football had changed since I last caught a game.
No.
Because it's been a while. No.
Yeah. Well, that's what they say. If someone's umpiring well.
Yeah. They're invisible.
He's not attracting attention.
Yeah. Well, that'll be the other thing, I guess, if the special effects do distract you. Because I think one of the things about movies that I find really interesting is the time that you see it in your development really colors how you feel about the film. And you can't tell someone that a film is bad if they saw it in their youth and they loved it. You can't change their mind on it.
No. They,
and I had a friend, Kaylin, who... he used to do a movie review channel on YouTube, and he did a whole episode about this, about how he loved this movie, Batman and Robin. And then he rewatched it and it was like the biggest piece of shit ever. And the whole episode is about him trying to come to terms with how much he loved it and how dumb that makes him feel now. And, you know, trying to shake off that cognitive dissonance. And I think it's a really interesting thing, because Jurassic Park for a lot of people is stated as their favorite movie. And I bet when you watch it, you'll be like, why is this a formative movie for anybody? Like I don't think you'll hate it, but you won't see it as revolutionary.
Well, it would never have occurred to me that it would be in any way a significant movie in that way.
I think it is. It's like...
it's about dinosaurs.
I know. But it's about more than that. There's ethics behind cloning dinosaurs, and there's scientific aspects to it.
I'll have to
wait
and see on that.
Well, we'll pick up that conversation on the second half of this. So we're going to go away and watch it now. We'll watch it together, and then we'll come back and we'll see what you think of it, if any of the stuff that I just said actually holds up.
Well, now I know it's Steven Spielberg, at least I'll have some good expectations of it.
Yeah, well, he knows what he's doing. Yeah. I think we can trust Steven Spielberg. He'll string together the edits pretty well.
He hasn't made too much rubbish.
Yeah, no, he knows how to light a scene and stuff. So he'll, you wouldn't expect it to be bad quality, but you never know. Like you said, it's about dinosaurs. How could it possibly be good?
How could it possibly be interesting to an adult?
Yeah, exactly. Mm. Well, let's find out if it is. Hopefully it will be.
All right, I'm up for it. Thank you.
Okay, well, we watched Jurassic Park. Dad, first thoughts?
I can see why it's admired technically.
Okay. But that's a given.
The dinosaurs are incredibly real. The movie as a whole, though, never felt real to me.
Mm. And so why was that?
Well, there were a number of reasons. The concept of how the park was created was explained quite quickly and cursorily at one stage.
Mm.
But I was never sort of sold on it. And then as the storyline unfolded, there must have been dozens of near-death experiences.
Mm. We should have counted them.
One after the other. We should have.
Yeah.
Which in the end just totally convinced me that the people were invincible and were going to come to no harm. So as a thriller or an attempt to make the audience feel frightened or experience the terror, I never experienced.
So none of it worked as far as there was no tension?
Not in terms of sucking me into the feeling that they're in danger, no.
So to me, the scene where the kids are trapped in the car and getting attacked by the T-Rex for the first time, for me, that's one of the tensest scenes in cinema history. For me, and I keep in mind, I watched it when I was younger, but I wasn't young. 1993, I was like 18 or something, right, or 19. Yeah. So it still holds up for me now. I get tense when I watch it. It builds up the tension really well for me.
Look, I may have got tense at that point, but the memory of that has been wiped by the by the way the plot unfolded from then on.
Yeah.
They are the luckiest four people in the history of the world because they missed death by a split second multiple times.
Well, don't forget Ian Malcolm. He rode on the nose of a T-Rex.
That's right.
And completely destroyed a toilet and flew through the air and survived without and still being able to have his chest on display and looking quite sexy. So
the bottom line for me was a bit of that was unnecessary. The story would have been, as a piece of cinema, would have been more interesting in many ways for me had you taken the attempted thriller aspect out of it.
Mm.
Yeah.
So to some extent, I agree with that too.
It was somewhere between horror and thriller. I don't really know which it was meant to be. I know that an effort was, from talking to you before, an effort was made to stop it being horror, that it wasn't meant to make it look like the dinosaurs were monsters hell-bent on human destruction and that was their main purpose. But the thriller element of it, it was like a hell of a long car chase.
Yeah, it is, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's actually just a series of action gags.
Yeah.
Gags, they call them in the business, I believe. Not that I'm in the business, but I think that's how they refer to it. So it's almost like they just brainstormed.
Yeah.
They picked the 25 best ideas for action scenes that would be tense.
Yeah.
And in the hands of Steven Spielberg, they're done probably as well as you possibly could. But it's almost like it was just one after the other at least the last half or definitely the last third of the movie.
That's certainly the way it impacted me.
Yeah. So I think that's why the first two thirds of the movie I quite enjoy still. Like I enjoyed it then watching it with you. And then I was just completely checked out in the end.
Yeah.
And I don't think it was because we had pizza in between or there was a break or I was distracted. I think it's because the movie, you're just forgiving it at that point, really.
Yeah,
and that'll piss a lot of people off who cherish this film.
But yeah. Oh, look, the stunts are done really well.
Yeah.
No doubt about it. But too many of them. And it just, to me, wasn't necessary.
So what did you think about the attempts? At a certain point, you said something interesting. You said, I think when we had the first break, you said this movie needs to decide what it wants to be.
Yeah.
So it wasn't always just action though, right? That's the impression that you were left with because the last third is all just action. But there is other stuff mixed in. So what did you think of the attempts to mix in the ethical arguments? Because I find that still really interesting now and probably more relevant because the cloning technology has to be more likely to be possible now than it was back then.
Well, you would have thought that the point of firstly writing a book and then making a movie was to convey a message, a contemporary message about the dangers that come with advances in science and technology and so forth.
Mm.
And that's a valid theme. And it did come through early in the film.
Mm.
That's why I say they never totally convinced me that it was all plausible. They could have spent a bit more time, I think, doing that. It's like they just wanted to cut to the action.
Mm. Well, the book has a lot more justification about it.
Yeah.
And I can tell you, I saw an interview with Michael Crichton where he said he went to Harvard or something like that, or MIT or something like that, and floated this idea. Could you find a mosquito trapped in amber, extract the blood, clone a dinosaur? And they just went, yeah, there's no reason that wouldn't work.
Yeah, so,
in principle, the theory is sound. And I think you're right. They don't go to great lengths to explain it. Or in some cases, they over-explain it too, though, like that whole cartoon. I don't need the cartoon. I think that's just for the kids watching.
I'm not saying they didn't explain it, because they did, but it wasn't challenged in any way or gone through in any sort of thorough way. It never got me to the point where I was into the space where, shit, this could happen.
Mm.
And to me, you needed to be in that space to really totally enjoy that movie.
Maybe, in a lot of ways, though, it is cartoonish.
Otherwise,
right?
It's a piece of fantasy.
It is, but I think that's what it's trying to be.
Well,
so
you can't. Fantasy is not a vehicle to get across a serious message like that.
So one thing I know about you, though, is that you're not into horror movies or violence, right? And I think, I don't know what the reason for that is particularly, but I would suspect people who don't like horror don't see the point in simulating fear. Like, movies always simulate emotions, right? That's the whole point. So you simulate.
I'm into terror and thrillers, but I'm not into horror. That's right.
So is it the violence that you don't like?
I don't like violence at any time. I would never go to a movie if I knew it was full of violence.
I might make you watch one, though.
But I was about to say, I've been to a few and found they were full of violence. One of the worst experiences of my life was going to Clockwork Orange. It's the inhumanity of the behaviour of the people in Clockwork Orange is so disturbing. A hell of a long time since I've seen it. So, but I mean, the idea of playing classical music while you're kicking someone to death and raping their wife and all that sort of stuff in front of them is
that's right. I remember that.
That's
scene.
An horrific concept.
Mm.
Yeah, and it was.
It's a portrayal of psychopathy, though, and then it plays with the idea: could you cure it using mind control techniques?
Yeah. Anyway, that's
conditioning.
Got no relevance to this movie other than the fact that. I'll take violence in its context, but if I know a movie's full of violence, I won't go and see it.
Did it upset you to see the lawyer get eaten on the toilet?
No.
Because that shocked me when I first saw it.
No, he was set up.
I knew it was happening.
He was set up to be the least likable person in the movie.
You're supposed to enjoy it, but I found it decidedly vicious.
Yeah.
That that they lovingly animate the dinosaur, shake him around, and you can hear his bones crunching. Probably not on this speaker so well.
I thought the toilet disintegrated too easily too.
Yeah, well, it was just
the toilet structure.
Again, it speaks to like the whole movie's just a series of gags. That's a gag. It was all set up.
Mm.
It's not what really happens to a toilet, is it? So, I mean, well, it's never happened. If it ever happens to mine. I'm going to be the least affected by it because that's everybody around me is going to really suffer.
Exactly.
So, I mean, I don't think there are any toilets made entirely of palm leaves, whatever it was.
No.
I don't think so. Maybe in the Philippines, but certainly not in America.
No. It was mildly amusing, but I think I commented a couple of times through the movie about attempts at humor during the thing. I just found that was just mixing the whole thing up. That was a complete distraction to me. In fact, it diminished from any chance of me actually feeling the terror.
Mm.
I don't get that sort of stuff. People sometimes make wry jokes when they're in extreme danger. I understand that. I understand being married to a nurse that there's a lot of humour around people who have to perform in emergency situations and that sort of thing. It's their way of coping. But this sort of humour is not that.
Mm.
It's just an attempt to be clever. And I personally, you know, think it didn't really work.
I agree with you. But I think it's very deliberate. I don't think Steven Spielberg was...
No, it's deliberate.
He's diffusing the tension because he knows there's kids watching. There's a very famous thing that Steven Spielberg did that you might not be aware of, but I think it speaks to his frame of mind when he makes a movie nowadays as opposed to his previous career before Jurassic Park. So he had a scene in E.T. where the bike takes off and flies through. You know, you've seen that scene. If you haven't seen the movie, you've definitely seen that scene. Yeah. So... there's a scene where that happens and they were actually approaching a police barrier and the two cops have guns. They're standing there with guns. They don't do anything. They just go, oh, look, oh, there's a flying bike. Oh, my God. Right? So they don't shoot anyone. They don't shoot at anyone. No one don't discharge the weapon. Steven Spielberg went back when he was changing the special effects for E.T. He updated them with digital effects and he removed the guns from the guys. He was uncomfortable with the idea of just having guns.
Right.
In the movie. So here he is making essentially a monster movie and he's uncomfortable with traumatizing children and showing weapons. So I think there was a conflict and I think it shows up in the movie where he's not comfortable traumatizing children, which is what he was doing. He was showing children getting traumatized and he was, if he made the tension continue to ramp up, it would have traumatized the audience, at least the children in the audience, maybe some of the adults as well. And I think he just, his instinct is to diffuse it with humor. So I don't think it's a mistake, but it's, I think you're right. It does undermine what might have been an enjoyable aspect of the movie. So yeah, I don't know. But I also think the characters are very cartoonish for the same reason.
Well, if I'd been writing that story, at least one of those children would not have survived because.
It has to, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. You can't put children in jeopardy over and over again and have them all survive.
No.
Yeah. In fact, there's a whole movement of people who say they'll refuse to watch anything that puts a child in jeopardy, any form of entertainment. And I kind of understand that because it's cheap.
The fact of life is that it's highly unlikely those children would have survived if they'd gone through that experience.
And strangely, though, the boy, what was his name? Can't remember the kid's name. He shows a lot of signs of real trauma, though. You know, he's like quite... destroyed by the end of it. He's a playful kid at the start.
He was relatively convincing.
Well, annoying, but yeah, no, kids can be.
Relatively convincing.
Yeah. So you said Sam Neill was the most convincing of the actors. You didn't like Laura Dern?
I found her a confusing personality. I couldn't work out what she was on about, really. She was doing a lot of giggling at the start.
Yeah.
And... making strange faces and and all that sort of stuff, and she pulled off a couple of scenes towards the end where she looked really terrorized.
Yeah, and I think her scene with John Hammond where they're eating the ice cream is good too. That's the one I remember the most.
Yeah,
when I think of her in the movie, you're right. She's pretty hammy in some of the bits.
Yeah. She, I wouldn't be going out of my way to pay money to. Watch her again based on anything I saw then.
You wouldn't have much opportunity to. She was in the recent Star Wars movie, which is how many years is it since then? You know, 25 years later? Or is it 25 or 35? Yeah, 25. So, but she didn't have a great career after that movie.
Yeah. Sam Neill's character was a lot more consistent than hers, I thought, and had a lot more depth to it.
Yeah. But even his arc is kind of. Oh, he starts off not liking kids and then he learns to...
Yeah, it was a bit quick.
Yeah, it's all...
A bit quick.
And you know where it's going from the moment where he's mean to the little boy, you kind
of... Well, the thing about the vomit was a bit of a another weak gag, I thought.
Did you?
Yeah.
But it also had a utility that showed he was starting to understand what was motivating the kids a bit more or something like
this
that.
This all happened in the space of 48 hours or something.
Probably, yeah. It's got to be less than that. It's only one night, right?
Yeah.
Is there one night scene? I don't know.
Yeah, so people don't change that quickly.
Yeah, true.
However, it was that wasn't a major objection.
Mm.
Yeah,
So the technical stuff is really probably the only thing that you think would make, like, if you watch that movie and it had been done with stop motion, which is what they originally planned and the technology they had available when they first started planning to make the movie, what do you think would be different?
Well, now that I know what the movie's about and having seen it, I know that there's no way you would actually entice me to go to the cinema to see it.
Right.
There would be no reason for me to go and see that movie. It's not raising any great issue that I'm concerned about. It's not got magnificent acting that you sort of got to go and see because it's so artistic.
Yeah.
It hasn't got compelling music that stays with you or anything.
John
like
Williams
that.
Is going to be upset.
John Williams has probably written a beautiful score, and I am I have heard it outside the movie. At least I had heard the tune, or the main theme, but it's not Dances with Wolves where you would go you could go and shut your eyes and listen to the whole movie. And
I might be wrong, but I think they're both the same composer.
Are they? Okay.
I think that's John Williams. Let me check for you. Yeah, but I think so.
Yeah, but it's not Dances with Wolves, even if it is the same composer.
No, if I had to pick my favourite score, Dances with Wolves would be.
Yeah, yeah. So, and of course, it's not one of the more musical films where there's a series of great songs or the music is, one of the main elements. It's not one of those.
Well, it does almost continuously have music, but it's just blockbuster music.
All I'm saying is I wouldn't pay my money to go and listen to the music. So you could show me a couple of scenes from that with the dinosaurs and, a couple of the near misses of scenes, and I'd feel I'd seen the movie, really.
Sorry, it's Dances with Wolves was John Barry, so it's a different guy. Oh, I bet he's dead now. He looks really old in his photo. That's a shame. Yeah, you're right, though. Dances with Wolves is a much... But again, Dances with Wolves is an interesting comparison because it does have action. It has the buffalo stampede. It has violence. Big scenes. It has violence and fights and war scenes between the Sioux and the Westerners.
Yes, but you're not having to be convinced that it's plausible because it's eminently plausible. That's
true. It's real world.
Set in the Civil War, and we know that the Civil War involved great brutality on both sides and on all sides. Yeah,
you're right. You buy into the premise. You don't need to be convinced.
Yeah.
But also, I would say, and this is something maybe we'll have to check, but I would say there's a lot of near misses in Dances with Wolves as well. There's a lot of times when, I'll give you an example, the baby bull breaks away from the stampede and the kid's standing there and he's trying to hit it with the arrow and the bull charges him. Yeah. And then someone comes and shoots the bull at the last minute. I don't know if it's Kevin Costner or someone else, probably Kevin Costner. I would say there's at least a dozen things like that in Dances with Wolves and none of them ever bothered me.
No. Well,
maybe not.
They don't bother me. I'd be surprised if there's as many as that. But
This is more. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, my point is that it's acceptable in the right context. It's just not acceptable when it's too much. It's just too much.
The thing about near misses is that had they turned out differently, they would completely change the character of the film and the story.
Mm.
I don't think that's the case in something like Dances with Wolves, where I can't remember Kevin Costner as the main character.
Mm.
Having multiple near misses that could have killed him.
Not him. No, he never gets really put in jeopardy at all. Because he's the threat,
Even if he had, to me it would be a more plausible part of that story for a bit of natural luck to have occurred.
Yeah.
Whereas this is a far more artificial setting.
So let's talk about the ending because that's the worst one in my opinion. I don't know how you feel about the T-Rex saving the people at the end. It's considered like this magical film moment. Oh, the big surprise, the T-Rex. The T-Rex, what, snuck in? It was just standing there slightly off camera. No one saw it until it's dumb. I mean, I never liked it. And that ending is a complete mess to me. Did it bother you? Or were you numb by then?
If you think about it too much, It is not plausible, no.
No.
But as a storyline, it was a nice touch.
Yeah, I guess it rounds out the whole thing. Yeah. Plus, it would have made the dinosaur expert happy that the T-Rex is shown in a context where he's not killing people insanely.
We were shown all the creatures that were not carnivores and therefore were not a threat to humans.
Yeah.
We were shown the raptors and it was clear that they were actually directly antagonistic and aggressive towards other living creatures. And logically, there's a whole lot of them somewhere in the middle. Yeah, I thought it was quite a nice touch. I was long past believing what I was seeing.
Yeah, I think by then you didn't care didn't mind. Yeah. If that had been, if everything else had been perfect up to that point and then that had been the ending, you probably would have been annoyed.
I was giggling about a few things towards the end and I didn't giggle about that.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
You liked I can't remember his name either. But
the man's socks.
The dinosaur hunter guy.
His perfect socks.
His perfect socks, yeah.
And I liked the little boy's nice white soles of his shoes after he'd been lying in mud and through the ringer up trees and all sorts of things.
Yeah, yeah.
Looked like they just walked out of Kmart with them.
Yeah, that's true. He was literally buried in mud at one point and then all of a sudden. It's funny though because, you know, like a movie of that size has people dedicated to continuity. It's a job. What are they doing with their time?
They missed a few things there.
Yeah, absolutely. So I can tell you also a behind-the-scenes thing about the ending. Steven Spielberg decided to change the whole thing and do that ending with the T-Rex coming in and saving them. Originally, it was just going to be the raptors. The T-Rex wasn't going to be a hero at the end and all of that stuff wasn't in it. It wasn't in the book. And he changed his mind at the last minute. And the other thing that was interesting in behind-the-scenes stuff was when the T-Rex scene with the cars, that first one, originally it was scripted without rain. And then he decided it'll be scarier if it's raining. And Stan Winston, who made all the animatronic dinosaurs, so a lot of them were real robotic dinosaurs. He said, all of these, you know, this dinosaur is balanced by weight. It only works because the weight is predictable. If you get this thing wet, the weight will change and I can't be responsible for what happened.
Right.
So there's all these behind the scenes shots of the dinosaur like shaking like it's cold and going into spasms and they're hitting it with towels trying to get it dry and stuff. So it's quite funny because, you know, it's menacing at the time, but it's just, in real life, it wasn't scary at all.
Yeah.
So I don't know, should we do like a rating at the end or something if you give it a rating? So you agree that technically Jurassic Park has a place in cinematic history, that it inspired a lot of CGI type movies, that it fired people's imaginations because they saw something was possible that previously hadn't been. So like making a realistic animal just hadn't been possible before. No. They invented it for Jurassic Park. Yeah. So by itself, achievement enough.
That's a breakthrough and that's a big tick.
Yeah. But do you think the story is disappointing because of the age of it or more the tone? You just didn't like the tone from the sounds of it.
No, I come back to the point that if you gave me a synopsis of that movie as an attempt to attract me to go and watch the movie, it would have the same effect as the synopsis of most movies made today has on me, and that was I won't bother.
Yeah.
Right? That's my major point. So the movie then carries on in that fashion. So it lives up to the synopsis, if you like. It's got all the stunts, it's got all the action and all the rest of it. It's just I can't be bothered watching that sort of thing. I'm looking for some deeper message in a movie. I'm looking to shed a tear in a movie. I'm looking to hear some unforgettable music in a movie. They're the type of movies that I'll go and see. you wouldn't get me through the door to that one. So that's more my point.
I did get you through the door, though, didn't I?
Oh, well, you did.
For that's why this is kind of a fun experiment,
yeah,
I think.
Yeah, you did. And it may turn out that that's my reaction to further movies that you show to me. Mm. But what I'm saying on this one was I feel vindicated in not having gone to see it, because I don't believe I missed anything other than the technical achievement of it.
Well, we need to find a movie that is, you know, sort of blockbustery and tension driven that you do enjoy, because it's got to be possible, I think.
Yeah.
Just got to try and think of one that doesn't fall into all the tropes, because when Jurassic Park was made, I think, to be fair, a lot of those tropes weren't really tropes. They were invisible. I didn't notice them the first time I saw it. I mean, I just didn't notice the repetition.
Mm.
I didn't notice how segmented it was. Like, it was like, now the next fright scene is going to start. Yeah. So I did this time, though. Because when you watch something with someone else and you've seen it before, I think you watch it through their eyes.
Yeah.
So I'm constantly processing it, wondering, how is this going to affect Dad?
Mm.
And I get kind of, if I'm right, I guess I'm guessing your experience, but I think most of the time I could kind of get the vibe of it anyway. And I felt the same. I mean, I agree with everything that you've said.
Mm.
Jurassic Park doesn't deserve to be a revered movie for its moviness.
No, exactly.
At all. It's just the technical.
Yeah.
You know, it inspired a sense of wonder in a generation of people because it used technology that hadn't been used before.
Yeah.
That's all it was. And still, I think it's a good movie, and I find the premise a bit more intriguing than you do. I think the idea of, you know, the power of genetic engineering and what are the limits of that and what should you do? You know, the question about if should we clone a flight of condors?
Mm.
It's a good question. Mm. It's only a throwaway line in the movie, so it's not really dealt with. Mm. Maybe it is in a sense, but yeah, it's probably, I'd rather just watch that discussion.
Yeah.
With Jeff Goldblum and John Hammond, I'd probably just rather just have the whole movie, a 90-minute version of that discussion. Mm. I think I'd probably be more interested these days.
Yeah.
All right. Well, give it a rating out of 10 or something, and then, you know.
Oh, well, for the first attempt at a rating, I'd certainly have to give it a pass mark. So
5 or above?
Let's say 6.
Give it a 6?
Yeah.
I wonder if Steven Spielberg would be happy with that.
I doubt it.
Probably not. Yeah. Well, one thing I'll promise you is I won't make you sit through the sequel, because that, even though it's directed by Steven Spielberg, it's a mess.
Right.
And it's embarrassing in places.
Yeah.
Like you feel embarrassed for Steven Spielberg, which is probably the only movie I would say that for Steven Spielberg.
Mm. Anyway, I don't need to watch it again. Once will be enough.
All right, cool. No worries. All right, thanks for doing this, Dad. And we don't have a sign off or anything, so so we'll just say
over and out.
Yeah, over and out. See you next week. Whatever. Yeah.
Okay. Cheers.